In case you're wondering, why do Richard and I really give each other a high five like that? No, but for some reason, every time me and Richard see each other, even if we saw each other like 6 seconds before, we always give each other a high five. So we just had to make fun of ourselves in that video and like gives ourselves like seven high fives and a secret handshake. So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We have made it to Matthew chapter 6. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about a message today called Godly Giving. So while you guys get to Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to pray for you. First off, I want to just encourage all you guys. The mission trip is a great thing. We are coming up upon needing to do all the stuff so you guys can raise some money. But like Richard said, should you feel called to go, don't worry about the money. God is bigger than, God's not confined to a little bit of money. He owns all the money. So he can clearly get you the money that you need to come serve and give, just which is a great topic what we're going to talk about today. So Holy Father, thank you so much. God, I pray that just like in that video, Lord, we'd see the right and the wrong way to give today, Lord. Father, we would notice that how we help out everybody starts in the heart, Lord. And I pray that each one of us here would have a desire to want to have a pure heart, Lord, to want to be someone who helps only for the love of God, not for any reason of their own, Lord. I just pray that you'd show us today, Lord, as these are mature topics, Lord, these aren't things that everybody will want to do or everyone will understand, but they're things that for the people that you've called them, Lord, that you've called them to a more mature lifestyle, to raise up and be stronger Christians, Lord. So we just ask that you'd help us focus. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I read a story. 7 days ago, an anonymous giver gave $200 million to Baylor University in Waco, Texas. So cool, right? So cool that somebody has apparently $200 million just laying around that they can give away like it's 50 cents, right? And so cool that they did it anonymously, right? They chose to just do it in the secret. I mean, you know that if they would have showed up with like one of those giant like Publishers Clearinghouse checks made out to like Baylor University for $200 million, if they would have done that, they could have had every news reporter and radio station and person in the world there to interview them, right? But instead of the publicity, they chose to keep it a secret. And in fact, I see that a lot of this stuff happen here in the church. In fact, just last week, I saw someone anonymously donate some money to one of our students' mission trip. That's really cool, right? I thought, how cool. Or just yesterday, I got a note from a person that said, "Dear Mr. Villegas, thanks for all you do." That's it. I'm Mr. Villegas, by the way, in case you're like, who's Mr. Villegas? Me. That was it, though. And I was like, how cool that someone noticed me. Just a little letter of encouragement without even a name at the bottom to thank them. And I think it's true. It is better to give than it is to receive. I'm the type of person who on Christmas is always always pressuring the other person to open up their gifts. See, most people are like, I want to open my gift. I'm the other way. I'm always like, hey, trying to pressure my wife into opening her gift because I know how much she's going to like it. So I'm like, it's like December 3rd. And I'm like, you want to open a Christmas present? And she's like, it's December 3rd. What are we going to do on December 25th if I do that, right? And of course, she always says, no, we have to wait till Christmas. But if you guys haven't guessed, today we're going to be talking about giving. As we come in our Kingdom Come series and our study of Matthew, we find Jesus still teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching on giving. And the lessons just aren't about giving a physical object. It's about giving anything. It's about giving anything of your possessions, your talents, and your time. And he's going to show us that how, even though we give sometimes with our hands, it starts in the heart. It starts with our motives. So how can we give of anything, how we give of anything speaks of who we are as a person. So today, we're going to look at this message called Godly Giving. Meaning we want to know how to give in a godly way or a good way. Because to do godly things is to do good things. And we want to look at it in 3 points. We're going to see a warning for the conceited people. We're going to see a word for the wise people. And we're going to lastly see a reward for the modest people. So let's start first by reading our entire text. We're going to be Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will himself reward you openly. So the first point of this day is called a warning to the conceited. I'm sure you guys have all met a conceited person in your life. This is someone who's excessively proud, thinks very highly of themselves, right? Maybe you know a person who's always drawing attention to themselves, always wanting to be the center of attention. Or maybe you are this person. Well, maybe you could call them a tattletale, or maybe you call them teacher's little pet, right? Because these are people who don't do right because they love God or because they should do right. They do right only to draw attention to themselves. So the problem isn't in their actions, right? The problem has started way before that in their hearts and in their thoughts. I mean, compare it with this. Think about this. The act of murdering somebody is very bad, right? Of course it is. But we learned just before in Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus says, yeah, murder is bad, but murder started all the way back in the heart. And so the same is true for a person who gives with the wrong purposes. Their bad motive started in the heart. Their bad giving started in the thoughts. The action is just a byproduct or just a result of the heart of the person who is giving, right? Just like physical murder is the result of somebody who has already committed murder in their heart. And so these conceited, proud, wrong-thinking people, these are the people that Jesus has a warning for today. Let's see what he says one more time. Verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So first off, it says, take heed. Now, we don't really use take heed anymore, but another translation of this verse says, beware. Now, you guys can imagine this, right? Now, imagine you're a postwoman or a postman, right? You're the mail deliverer. That's your job. And you're doing your thing, delivering the mail, and you're going to houses, and you're dropping off the mail, and you come to one house, and right before you're about to go into the gate, there's a huge sign that says, beware of dog. Well, you're going to walk a little bit different, right? You're going to be looking around for some giant, like, Sandlot-style dog, right, that wants to, like, bite your face off. You're not just going to treat it the same way. And the same should be for us. Jesus is saying, beware, or act differently, walk differently, that you don't do your charitable deeds before people. So as a postwoman watches out for a dog, or a postman watches out for a dog, we should watch out for how we do our charitable deeds. Now, what is a charitable deed? Well, a charitable deed is defined as assisting a person in need. So a charitable deed is you helping out anybody in any form or any capacity. It could be you buying lunch for a friend. It could be you carrying somebody's books. It could be you taking out the garbage for your family. It could be you cleaning up the bathroom. Anytime you're helping somebody, that's a charitable deed. So right off the bat, the warning is for those people who do charitable deeds, who help people. Well, then we ought to take this warning in, because we've all helped somebody in one way or another in our lives. And so this warning should be for all of us. So what should we beware of? What should we take heed of, so to speak? Well, the text says, be careful to not be seen by others. Well, you guys just saw that video, right, that we played, and you saw Richard come in all sneaky, right? He's just, you know, dishing out his money, and he's just waiting there by the tithe box, waiting for me or waiting for somebody to come in so that we would see him put the money in the box, right? That's somebody who wants to be seen by men. Because here's the deal, though. It's not about what you give. It's about how you give. It's not about how much you give. It's about how much heart you have behind it. Let me give you an example. There's this awesome story, and I think it's Mark 12, maybe. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But this story about Jesus, and he sees the rich people coming in, and they're giving their money, and they're giving their tithes, and, you know, they're putting their money in the box, and they have all this money. And then he sees a poor widow come up, and all she has is two mites. Now, maybe you're wondering, what's two mites? Well, two mites is this: 1/64 of a day's wage. So Jesus sees these rich people putting all their money in the jar, and then he sees a poor lady giving 1/64 of a day's wage, and Jesus says, this woman gave more. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? How could that be, right? He's There were some people dropping some serious cash in here. How could that lady with 1/64th of a day's wage be giving more? It's because her heart was in it, right? Those people gave out of abundance, but she was like, this is all I have, and so I'll give it. And so her motive was right. So it wasn't about how much she gave. It was about the heart behind it. So we should beware when we do things to not be seen by others. These people who help out, who give money, who serve, who give to the poor, simply for the sake of being seen by other people, they should beware. And because it says right here in our text, because they have no reward from their Father in heaven. Now, we've talked about this a little bit before, I think on a Wednesday night, but there's a lot of talk about what a reward is. And I can't honestly tell you guys what exactly a reward is, because it could be so much more than I could define to you. But we do know a couple things. We do know that sometimes a reward from God in heaven will actually be a physical, tangible crown. Revelation portrays it at us as casting our crowns at the feet of Jesus, because he's the only one worthy of the crowns. He's the one who deserves them. But it's more than that. God will reward each one of you in a different way. Jeremiah 39:12 says, God rewards each according to their ways and according to the fruit of their deeds. So let's ask the question. Does God reward us with stuff? Does God reward us with things like iPods, like clothes, like new vans, new chucks, new clothes, all that stuff? Yeah, he does. I think God does reward us sometimes like that. But part of being a mature Christian is to understand, let God worry about the possessions, right? Don't put God in a box, you guys, because here's the deal. If you help somebody out, and because you help them out, you're waiting for God to drop off a touchable gift right on your doorstep, well, I would tell you that's a very immature way of thinking. Because many times the reward of God will be so much more than we even thought we wanted. We may think we want physical gifts, but we really don't, because God knows us better than we know ourselves. I don't know about you guys, but I would rather have joy and happiness and peace and comfort and satisfaction more than an iPod. Because what good is it if you have a million things, but you have no joy? What good is it if you have all the stuff, but no happiness? I'd rather God reward me with that feeling of satisfaction, knowing I did what was right, than a ton of possessions. So this person who helps out only to be seen by God, or by men, excuse me, they won't feel peace. They won't feel joy. They won't feel satisfaction. They will only grow more and more conceited. They'll only get a bigger head, right? So the warning is for all. It's for the conceited. But if we're wise people, then we'll listen to what God has to say, right? Just as a postman would be stupid to not read the sign that says beware of dog and act different, so would we be stupid to not heed God's advice. And so we're just going to look at that's going to bring us to our next point, called a word to the wise. You know, I love my mom. I love Lisa's mom. Moms are great, right? Moms are, they're so wise. They're so cool. It's so cool how God made all of moms so different, yet the same. And mom, they made moms so much different than dads. And I always go to my mom when I'm in need, right? I'm always asking her and telling her about the things that are going on in my life. And she always has a word of wisdom for me. And I'd be a smart man to heed her advice. I'd be smart to listen to what she has to say, because she's smart, because she's wise. She's been experienced in the world, right? And if moms are great at giving advice, how much better is God's advice for us? So let's look at a piece of advice when it comes to giving. Verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. They have the glory of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So what we just read is Jesus giving a little bit of advice, saying, here's how you give in a godly way. First off, it says, don't sound a trumpet like a hypocrite. You guys know what a hypocrite is, right? A hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another. They may be that person who's telling you, hey, you should do this and you should do that and you should always do all these millions of things, but they themselves don't even listen to their own advice, right? And actually, the word for hypocrite in the Greek is this word hypocritis, which actually meant an actor in a play. So a hypocrite is an actor, right? They're only playing a part. It's not who they really are. You see, a person who sounds a trumpet draws attention to themselves. You guys know that. Back in the old day, it was like some poor guy's job just to walk around with a trumpet all day, right? And he's just like, right, you know, and then like the king comes in, hail, hail the king, you know what I mean? And he's just got like the worst job ever, right? But they sound the trumpet so that people will say, oh, there must be something important that's about to be said, right? Or there must something important that's about to be done, right? And so Jesus says, don't do that. Don't say, hey, look at what I'm about to do. Another cool story is actually the Bible says that before the rapture, before the believers in Christ will be taken up to meet God in the air, before that there will be a sound like a trumpet. That's really cool that God will announce himself that way. But so a person who gets attention before they give, they're an actor or an actress, right? They really aren't helpful. They just want to seem holy and pious and righteous. But as soon as no one's looking, they take off the mask, so to speak, right? Because they're just only playing a role. And these people are foolish who don't, these people are the foolish people because they didn't listen to Jesus' advice. As you guys know, we've seen a lot of, in the last couple of chapters, especially Matthew chapter 5, Jesus usually says, hey, here's what you should do, and then here's what the scribes and Pharisees are doing, right? He usually contrasts them, like, hey, you want to do something right? Well, then don't do it like the scribes and Pharisees, which is sad because they were the religious people of the time, but they weren't humble. They were the actors. They were the ones who would go out into the streets and the synagogues, like we read, and just want everyone to see how great and mighty they were. But they were actors. They were hypocrites. So why don't we want to be hypocrites? What's so bad about being a hypocrite, right? Well, two things. One, it makes us all look bad, right? If you guys go out into the world and tell everybody you're a Christian, great news. If you live like it, right? But if you go out into the whole world, tell everybody you're a Christian, tell them you live by the Bible, but then you start doing everything that the Bible doesn't say, you're just caught up in a ton of sin, and you talk in a certain way that's of the world, then that does none of us any good, right? That does none of us any good, because that person who sees you being a hypocrite, guess what? The next time they meet a Christian, they're going to say automatically, oh, I've met someone like you before. Someone who appears to be a Christian, but really you're not. Really, you have other motives and you're an actor. And so it makes us all look bad. The second reason we don't want to be a hypocrite is because of what we spoke about earlier. It says the hypocrite has no reward from God. It didn't say they don't get any reward. It says they get no reward from God. So the reward is found at the end of verse 2. It says, for these people have the glory of men. So these people who are the hypocrites, who go out there and only want to be seen for what they do, they don't want to do things in secret. God says, I give you no reward. And he says, I give you no reward for two reasons. The first is because you've already gotten what you wanted. The only reason you ever helped out in the first place was to get glory, to get praise and glory from men, not from God, right? And so you wanted people to say, you're so nice, you're so awesome, you're so generous. And look, they've already done that. So there's your reward, right? Those people don't want peace and love and joy. They don't want the rewards of God. They want worship for themselves. The second reason why God does not reward the hypocrites or those who give in public is because they're glory stealers. If you guys don't know this and you want to know, what am I here for? Okay, you want to know what you're here for? You're here to, you were created to bring glory to God. That's why you were created. You weren't created for any other purpose but to bring God glory. He said, I'm going to create you so you can bring me glory. Because he's God. He can do that. And so we should point to him at all times and say, he's the reason I share, the reason I give. We shouldn't take the spotlight off of God and put it onto ourselves, right? And this is an area in our life where we always need to watch ourselves, you guys, because it's just natural for us sinful people to want to put the spotlight on ourselves. I'll give you an example. Just the other day, I was making, if you guys don't know, girls take like 50 years longer than dudes to get ready, right? Sorry, girls, you know it's true, right? So in like, you know, I woke up, took a shower, ate, and did everything in like 20 minutes, and my wife, who's been up for like 2 hours, is still like rushing around getting stuff ready, right? And so I'm like, what can I do to help her out, right? So I ask her, like, what can I do for you? And she's like, will you just like throw some turkey in a bag so I can have a lunch and just like make me like just some of the stuff that we have in there? And I was like, okay. So I started thinking about like I'll do something nice, right? This is just an example, okay? I'm not being a hypocrite. And so I like made her this awesome lunch, okay? Like I like made her a parfait. I like bagged it up all nice. She had like 5 snacks, a root beer. Like it was like the best lunch ever. And I like tied it off, put it right there. And when she came downstairs, I was hoping that she was going to open up and be like, dude, thank you so much. Like, this is the best lunch ever. You're awesome, right? And so, sure enough, she comes down the stairs and she takes the bag and she throws it into her purse and she's like, all right, you ready to go? I'm like, yeah. And I'm just like wanting her to tell me, right? And the whole day I'm like just waiting to see, like, is she going to call me and tell me like how great this lunch is, right? Because I'm just like, that's the hard part though, because I wanted the glory for what I did. And you know, I when I think of it now, actually, when she came home that night, she said, thank you so much for that lunch. And I was like, oh, did you like it? You know, like as if I didn't know. But the funny thing is that, you see, it's just natural in everything that we do to say, hey, give me the credit for what I did. Hey, did you see that score I got on that test, everybody? You know, look at how good I did in that sports game, right? But we shouldn't be looking for praise because, and just like I shouldn't be looking for praise, right? I should have made my wife an awesome lunch because God commands me in the Bible to love my wife like he loves the church, right? Or maybe some of you guys in here have a brother or sister and they get all the attention it feels like. And maybe you feel, man, I got to prove to myself every day to my parents how awesome I am, that I am just as good as my brother or sister. You don't have to do that, you guys. Yes, a parent should love you and pay attention to you, but you should want to do well at school, you should do your chores, you should obey your parents, not because you want their praise, but because God asked you to, and that brings glory to him, right? Because if you love him, then you're going to love him all the time, and he's going to be Lord over your life in every area of your life. Jesus deserves the limelight. Jesus is worthy. He is God. He died for yourself. He created the universe. You want to know an easy way when you're seeking that attention and you want that praise? Ask yourself this. Can I create universes? Did I die and resurrect? Can I save people from their sins? No, you can't, right? And the minute that you guys can speak a universe into existence, then by all means, like, go start your own religion, like, get a following, do your rituals, whatever you want to do. But until you can create your own universe and do the things that Jesus can do, then stick to worshiping Jesus and not worshiping yourself, right? Because I hope all you guys are in here would rather have the rewards of God than the popularity and the praise of mere people. It's nice to know that God is pleased with you. It's nice to know, man, I did the right thing in this situation. It's not easy. I'm not telling you it's easy, but I'm telling you it's part of what maturing means as a Christian. And that's the word to the wise. So we should be smart people and heed God's advice and give him what he deserves, not take the spotlight. So if you guys do this, you will be a modest person and you'll be rewarded by God, which brings us to our third point and our last point called a reward to the modest. There's a great quote in Isaiah 55:8. God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Throughout your life, when you guys come to a time, because you will, I promise you, where you're just like, God, is this really what you want me to do? God, is this seems like the worst possible way to go. Or are you sure this is where you want me to go? Remember, his ways aren't your ways. And we're about to see one way where God's ways are so not the world's ways. Because the world doesn't value modesty. The world says that humbleness is weakness. That a person who is conceited, it just has self-esteem, right? And that's not what God says. That's not right to draw attention to yourselves. You see, the world says, take all the credit. Take the spotlight. Wear clothes that draw attention to you. Do whatever you got to do. Talk in a certain way to draw attention to you. But God says, you won't be rewarded that way. You'll be rewarded for being modest. You want to be rewarded? Let me show you how. Verse 3 and 4. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will himself reward you openly. Okay, so it says, when you do your charitable deed, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This means two things. The first thing it means, don't broadcast what you're about to do. Think of how close your hands are, right? Usually what one thing does, the other thing follows right behind it, right? It's just the way it is. It's hard to do some things one-handed. You're usually always working things both together. So to apply, then, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing, this would mean keep it a secret, even from the closest of things, right? If your hands are always working in secret or together, for the right hand to do something about the left hand, it must be in secret, right? And so the same is for you. Even the people that are most closest to you, your best of friends, they don't need to know about every single thing that you do for God. You don't have to tell them all these things you're doing. You can keep those things in secret. You don't have to tell everybody. Maybe there'll be a time where you and a friend want to meet up together and serve together and do and help people out together. That's fine. But then you don't have to tell the rest of your friends, right? The second thing it means is that to be a spontaneous giver. Now, every time you guys help out, it doesn't have to be premeditated, all right? You don't have to sit at home all the time. It's good to do this as well and say, how can I help somebody this week? That's a great thing to do, to think about it. But it also means that we should be spontaneous, that as we just walk through life, we should be looking for opportunities to serve. And the reason is this, because if you guys remember back, we studied it in Matthew chapter 5, your right hand was known as your best hand to the Jews. It was the hand that you did everything, the hand that you worked with, the hand that you ate and drank with. It was just normal, your normal hand for doing the day's normal tasks. One pastor said, if your right hand is the hand that you do all the day's natural things with, like eating and drinking, and then being helpful to people should be as normal to the body as eating and drinking. You see, when you do something helpful to the person and you don't tell them that it was you and it's in secret, you're a modest person. And you want to be modest because it's a sign of spiritual maturity. Because this receiver of the gift only has God to thank. Now, not always are you ever going to be able to do it in secret, but the majority of the time you should be able to do it in secret. You'll be rewarded best for doing them in secret. As long as you, even if you give in front of people, as long as your motive is right behind it, then that's fine. But giving in secret is the best because God says, I will reward you. God says, give me the glory. Well, not only are you fulfilling man's highest calling, which is to worship God, but he says, since you didn't get any credit for what you did, then I'll get you even a better reward than the praise of people. I'll give you an individual gift. How cool, because we don't even deserve a gift from God. We should be able to help out and be obedient for him without this idea of getting a reward. I know we spoke about it earlier, but a reward from God, you guys, is an amazing gift. But the thing about a reward from God is it's only a reward if you're a believer. Your reward, get this, may be that you get to do it again. Maybe you're thinking, whoop-de-do. That doesn't sound better than an iPod, right? No. But you're looking at it the wrong way. Because God used you to brighten somebody's day. God used you to show love to this person. God used you to be his hands and feet. God, people, what an honor. And so for him to say, you did such a good job, I want to do it with you again. I want to let you help somebody out again. Wow, what an honor, right? Should mean the world to us that those are the kinds of gifts, because that's not something in the world would want. Someone in the world would want a physical gift. But what an honor that God lets us do these things. So if you guys can remember, back in the beginning, I told you about that person who donated that money to Baylor University, $200 million, right? Well, listen, we all don't have $200 million. And if you do, come talk to me after service, right? Because I want to be your buddy. No, just kidding. But we all don't have $200 million. Maybe someday you will. Think about this. You guys may be the person who can do this someday in your life. But the thing about it is Jesus isn't talking about money here necessarily. Money is one way to give, one way to help out. But if we don't possess money, then what else can we possess to give of? Well, we can give a couple things. We can give of our time. Maybe you guys, and this is funny, because this is a mature way of thinking. This isn't going to sound fun. But when you think about serving God and his rewards, it should. Maybe you should think about sacrificing some sleep this week and getting up and cleaning the house, helping your parents in any way. Maybe instead of watching TV for the whole week, you give that time in prayer for Velocity, for your friends, for your family, for your school. You see, you can give of your time. You can ask people how you can serve them. That doesn't take any sort of money. And you can serve with your talents. And don't tell me that you don't have a talent. Maybe you're like, but I'm not talented in anything. Dude, we all have a mouth, right? We can all talk, right? So you can use your talent, which is to speak, and go talk to somebody. Say, hey, go make a new friend. Go share the love of Christ. Go speak to somebody. Or maybe you're talented in school. Go find somebody who isn't doing so well in school and say, hey, can I help you out this week? Look, I noticed you didn't do so well in the test. I did pretty well. Can I help you out this week? And maybe, you know, maybe I can do something for you. Or maybe you're one of those people who's really talented at sports. Well, or you're talented at skating, whatever. Why don't you go find one of those people who isn't very good at skating or isn't very good at sports and say, hey, man, you want to hang out today, man? And I can show you a couple new tricks or show you how to shoot the ball a little bit better, right? Or maybe you just want to be completely anonymous and buy a bunch of candy and put it on some people's lockers or write an anonymous note to somebody and say, hey, I was thinking about you this week and I'm praying for you and I just want you to know that, hey, you know what, I think you're pretty cool and whatever. Whatever you want to write on there, right? That's talented and that's something really easy to do. I want to challenge you guys to do something this week and seek no praise for it, okay? Do something for somebody, whether in secret or in public, but whatever you do, have the right motives and seek nothing for it. So why should we give, though, as we wrap it up, right? Well, because, guys, remember, you can't take it with you, right? Nothing you have is you can take with you. Why leave this earth with a closet full of clothes when someone has none? Why leave with not sharing your talents? Because let me tell you something. Up there, no one needs our talents anymore. There's no need to give in heaven. We'll have everything we need. I want to end today with a story from a very unusual person. If you guys don't know who Stephen King is, he's a horror film and horror novelist. Very different kind of guy. But a couple of years ago, he was hit by a car while he was walking down the street near his house. And I want to read you a little bit about what he had to say about his experience that I think applies to us as we end here. Said, a couple of years ago, I found out what you can't take it with you means. I found out while I was lying at the side of a ditch in a country road, covered with mud and blood, and with my tibia of my right leg poking out the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree that had been taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Bill Gates, going broke. Tom Hanks, going broke. Stephen King, broke. So I want you to consider your life as one long gift to others. And why not? Everything you have is on loan anyways. The only things that last are the things that you pass on. Because giving isn't about the receiver or the gift, but it's about the giver. It's for the giver. One doesn't open his wallet to improve the world, although it's nice when it happens. One opens his wallet to improve one's self. Lord, thank you so much. I pray, Father, that you would just teach us what it means to give godly, Lord. Let us remember, Father, that everything is yours. And so why not spread it around, Lord? Why not give of our time, give of our talents, Father? And Lord, I just pray that this week, Lord, you'd just challenge these students, Lord, to give without wanting to get anything back. And Lord, to look for your reward. Maybe it'll be that still small moment of satisfaction and peace that what they did was right and what you asked them to do. Or maybe it'll be something else, Lord. But I just pray, Father, that as we all want to grow in maturity, Father, that you would show us that this is the way to do it, Lord. All these things we've been learning in Matthew, this is how you become a stronger Christian. And so, Father, I pray that we would give, Lord. You always gave, Lord. You never had this pile up of possessions and stuff. And so I pray that we would have a loose grip on everything, even the things we hold most dearest to us. And Father, that should you take those things out of our hand, that we will not cry and be upset about it, but we'll know the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, Father. And so we should give to others. And so I just pray, God, that you would just be with this group of students this week. Protect them, love them, give them opportunities to show their boldness and their love for you, and let them just do it in a mighty way, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.